Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Fortis Healthcare Limited Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Anurag Kalra, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations at Fortis Healthcare Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pari. A very good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for taking the time to join us on our Quarter 1 FY 2026 earnings call. The call is being led by our CEO and Managing Director, Dr. Ashutosh Raghuvanshi. We have Mr. Vivek Goyal, our Chief Financial Officer. From Agilus, Mr. Anand joins us as CEO, and Mr. Akshay, who is the CFO of Agilus, is also here with us. We will begin with some opening comments on the quarter gone by Dr. Raghuvanshi, post which Anand will take you through his highlights of the diagnostics business, and then we shall open the floor for questions and answers. Over to Dr. Raghuvanshi.
Thank you, Anurag. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to join us on our Q1 Financial Year 2026 earnings call today. Before I take you through the financials, let me share some key business highlights and demonstrate the strength of our business going forward. As part of our inorganic growth strategy, the company recently, through its wholly owned subsidiary, consummated the acquisition of Shrimann Super Speciality Hospital in Jalandhar, Punjab, which added 228 beds to its network. This transaction further strengthens our presence in Punjab from approximately 800 beds to over 1,000 beds. The acquisition also provides us with the opportunity to add another 225 beds by expanding the existing building and utilizing the adjacent land parcel, taking the total to over 450 beds in future. In July 2025, the company entered into an operations and maintenance services agreement with Gleneagles India. Under the agreement, Fortis will manage the operations of approximately 700 beds across five hospitals and a clinic within the Gleneagles India network. Fortis is entitled to receive a monthly service fee at the rate of 3% of the net revenue. This development marks a significant expansion of Fortis Healthcare's operational footprint, and the expanded scale enhances our ability to deliver integrated, high-quality healthcare services across more geographies. The combined strength of both the networks will help us leverage synergies and embrace efficiencies. With these additions, the company now operates 33 healthcare facilities comprising over 5,700 beds across 11 states. Coming to the financial performance, I would like to highlight that we have witnessed a healthy start to the financial year 2026. Our hospital business continues to perform well, both in terms of revenue and margins. On the diagnostic front, we have seen an improvement in revenue growth, and margins continue to trend upwards. We reported a consolidated top-line figure of INR 2,167 crores, a growth of 16.6% over the Quarter 1 of Financial Year 2025. Noticeably, our hospital business revenue has grown 18.6% to INR 1,838, while Q1 Financial Year 2025 diagnostic business net revenue has grown by 6.3% to INR 329 crore versus INR 309 crore in Financial Year 2025. The hospital business revenue accounts for 85% of our consolidated revenue. Our consolidated operating EBITDA increased 43.2% to INR 491 crore, delivering a margin of 22.6% versus 18.4% in Q1 of Financial Year 2025. The hospital business reported an operating EBITDA of INR 406 which translates into a margin of 22.1% compared to 18.5% in Q1 of financial year 25. Our consolidated reported profit after tax before exceptional items for the quarter increased 46.2% to INR 254 crores. On the balance sheet front, the company's net debt stands at INR 1,869 crore with a net debt to EBITDA of 0.92x as on June 30, 2025, as against 0.22x on June 30, 2024. The increase in debt was primarily due to the fund raised to part finance the acquisition of 31.5% PE stake in Agilus Diagnostics by the company and acquisition of Fortis brand and trademarks. On the hospital business, our ARPOB increased by 10.2%. The increase reaching to INR 2.65 crore per annum compared to INR 2.41 crore per annum in financial year 25. The growth in ARPOB was driven by an improved specialty mix, with oncology growing 28% year-on-year and contributing 16.4% to the revenues, up from 15.1%. The other factors contributing to ARPOB growth included increasing share of complex cases, as reflected by 75% year-on-year increase in robotic surgeries, and also an improved payer mix with the share of institutional business at 20.3% compared to 20.9% in the same period last year. Our occupancy improved to 69% compared to 67% in Q1 of 25. This translated into occupied beds increased by 7.8% to 2,928 beds compared to 2,715 beds in Q1 of 25. We are on track to add capacity of approximately 900 beds in the current financial year, including those at our recently acquired hospital in Jalandhar. We expect to operationalize approximately 50% of these beds in the current financial year. In 11 of our facilities, we have reported operating EBITDA above 20% during the first quarter of financial year 26. These 11 facilities together contributed 75% of the hospital revenues. In comparison to financial year 25, we had 10 of our facilities with operating EBITDA margin above 20%, contributing 73% to the hospital revenue. Several of our key hospitals, such as Mohali, Noida, Anandpur, Fehi, and Faridabad, witnessed margin expansion compared to both corresponding and trailing quarters. In addition, many of our key facilities, such as Shalimar Bagh, FMRI, Fehi, Jaipur, and Faridabad, registered revenue growth in excess of 20% compared to the corresponding previous period. Revenue from international business grew 21% compared to quarter one of 25 and reached INR 154 crore. The contribution of international business revenue stood at approximately 8% in quarter one of financial year 26, on similar line as quarter one of financial year 25. Focus on digital continues to remain core to our strategy. We have successfully implemented the inpatient modules of EMR at Fortis Fehi, the second such implementation after Fortis Manesar. This enhances the real-time access to patient data for clinicians. Revenue from clinic digital channel via website, mobile application, and digital campaigns witnessed a 16.8% year-on-year growth in Q1. Digital revenues contributed to 29.5% of the overall hospital revenues versus 29.9% in quarter one of financial year 25. The company further strengthens its medical talent with onboarding of specialists in the area of oncology, cardiac sciences, obstetrics and gynecology, and renal sciences. We also augmented our medical infrastructure by installing second Da Vinci robots at our hospitals in Mohali and BG Road. In the diagnostic business, gross revenue grew 7.4% to INR 369 crores compared to INR 344 crores in Q1 of financial year 25. Operating EBITDA margin basis gross revenue stood at 23% versus 16.1% in Q1 of 25. Excluding one-offs, the operating EBITDA margin stood at 18.7% in Q1 of financial year 25. As a part of our ongoing network expansion strategy, the total number of new customer touchpoints reached 4,261 as of June 30th, 2025. The preventive portfolio revenues in HLS revenue grew 8.4% in Q1 of financial year 26 and contributed 12% to the operating revenues. We have witnessed a steady recovery in both revenues and operating EBITDA margins. This is reflective of the brand building initiatives undertaken over the last few quarters. We expect this growth momentum to continue going forward with a considerable network presence, balanced B2C, B2B mix, and an increased focus on product mix. I am confident about Agilis's potential to scale up further, both in terms of revenue and margins. With this, I will conclude my comments. I believe our hospital and diagnostic businesses are well positioned to maintain their positive trajectory. Leveraging the strength of our balance sheet, we will continue to explore and evaluate growth opportunities that align with our cluster strategy and offer promising synergies. Thank you, and I will hand over to Mr. Anand for his comments now.
Thank you, Dr. Raghuvanshi. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Agilis Diagnostics, I welcome you to our Q1 FY26 results conference call. Agilis Diagnostics reported a gross revenue of INR 368.8 crores in the Q1 of FY26, reflecting a 7.54% growth compared to INR 343.5 crores in Q1 of FY25, and 348.5 crores in Q4 of FY25, a growth of 5.8% compared to the trailing quarter. Operating EBITDA for the quarter stood at INR 84.7 crores, up from INR 55.4 crores in Q1 of FY25, with margins improving to 23% from 16.1% in the last year. In Q4 of FY25, operating EBITDA was INR 62.6 crores, with a margin of 18%. During Q1 of FY26, Agilis conducted 10.1 million tests compared to 9.57 million tests in Q1 of FY25 and 9.59 million tests in Q4 of FY25. We added 10 labs and 160 plus new customer touch points during this quarter, reflecting our continued focus on strengthening presence and accessibility across the geographies. The B2C to B2B mix stood at 51 to 49 in Q1 of FY26 compared to 52-48 in Q1 of FY25. From a product standpoint, revenue contributions for Q1 stood at 54% from routine tests, 34% from specialized tests, and 12% from our wellness portfolio. On the geography front, revenues were driven by 31% from north, 31% from south, 20% from the west, 13% from the east, and 4% from our international markets. We have also made significant enhancements to our digital platforms this quarter to elevate the customer experience, including improvised digital processes that streamline internal operations and the launch of an in-house feedback management system to capture NPS feedback. We have been focusing on next-generation diagnostics, and it has helped our genomics portfolio to grow by about 17% compared to Q1 of FY25. We have further enriched our test portfolio with advanced offerings to support personalized diagnostics and patient care. We have launched around 30 tests in this quarter, including tests in oncology and prenatal care. Some of the important tests that we have launched are Digitrack bundle for monitoring NPM1, IDH1 mutations, a critical tool in hematological malignancy management. The comprehensive drug assay panel, which is designed for allergy testing, which can provide detailed insights for precise allergy profiling. These new additions showcase our commitment to expanding cutting-edge diagnostic capabilities, driving precision medicine, and improving patient outcomes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Anurag.
Thank you, Anand. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall now open the floor for question and answers. May I please request the moderator for this?
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amey Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question and congrats to the management on good numbers. So the first question I have on the hospital performance, particularly the five hospitals, FMRI, Mohali, BG Road, Mulund and Jaipur, have seen a sharp uptick on the sequential numbers. Is it possible to highlight the reason for the same, and particularly in Jaipur and BG Road, what would be the occupancy right now? Thanks.
Yeah, so hi, this is Vivek. So you ask about Jaipur, Pehi and BG Road.
FMRI, Mohali, BG Road have seen a good sequential uptick in the revenues and as well as Jaipur and Mulund as well, if you can provide some reason for the same. And also if you can provide the occupancy for Jaipur and BG Road.
Yeah, so Jaipur is operating around 65% occupancy now, and it has revived. Last year it was having some challenges we have discussed in the earlier call. So it has come out from that and is now on the path of recovery. It has already achieved around double digit EBITDA margin also. So that is on Jaipur. As regard FMRI, it is doing quite well. FMRI EBITDA, the 20 beds we have added, and we able to fill them quickly. And the occupancy level of FMRI is 80% level. BG Road, although the occupancy side, it is slightly struggling. It is at around 56-57%. But they able to do some quality work, and as a result of that, the EBITDA margin are quite healthy. Any other unit you want to understand?
And Mulund.
Mulund again, the EBIT, the occupancy for the first quarter was not that good. It is below 60%. However, EBITDA margin is about 20%. So Mulund, it is recovering quite well, and we are quite hopeful both BG Road and Mulund will start showing good occupancy number going forward.
So, and on your profitability matrix, you have shown one unit has moved up into 25% bracket. Is it possible to highlight which is that unit?
25% bracket, you are saying? Yeah, so Ludhiana has moved up in 22, it is now about 20%, and there are two units who have moved above 25 also, FMRI and Anandpur.
So, and the second question I have on the diagnostic side, the full margins, this quarter we have reported very healthy margins. So you expect your full year guidance of around 22% margins for the diagnostic could be easily achieved? And
our margins, as we have seen, it will be in the range of about 22-23% is what we are expecting for the whole year as well.
So you, going ahead, you might expect some normalization of the margins in the upcoming quarters, you mean?
So usually the second quarter is a good quarter for us, and as you know, there will be some slight dip in the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter will again normalize. So on an average, we expect that the overall margins to be around in the range of 22% to 23%.
Sure. And for the consolidated margins, considering the hospitals are also at around 22%, you expect the consolidated margins to improve significantly over last 1 year, and if you have any guidance for this year?
So we are sticking to our guidance which we have provided in the beginning of the year, 2% margin improvement. We are excited with the first quarter number, and we'll see how, you know, the rest of the year will follow.
Sure. Thank you so much. I will join back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question, sir. First on the Glenmark O&M contract that you announced, what is the game plan here? Because a few of the Gleneagles facility are not in our core cluster, you know, like Hyderabad, Delta, West Chennai. You know, this does not seem to include the Mumbai facility. So, you know, is that also at some point going to get included to the O&M contract? Any color here?
Yes. So, Neha, for the starters, we have excluded the Bombay facility because that is a separate entity among the Gleneagles network, and that would be considered separately. We would certainly explore the possibility of including that in the current arrangement.
Understood. And what about the other facilities? So because I think Gleneagles also has facilities in Hyderabad and Chennai, which, you know, technically aren't Fortis's core markets, given the exit at Chennai now. So, you know, from an O&M perspective, how does Gleneagles, the O&M contract that we have signed, fit into the Fortis network?
Yeah, so it forms a new cluster for us. We definitely have no presence currently in the Fortis network in these markets. But we are going to double down on these markets and create further opportunities we will explore. We do have a Gleneagles facility in Chennai which does very high-end clinical work, has got fabulous clinical talent. So we are going to build on the existing base of good clinicians we have available in this network, and these hospitals have been there around for a long time. So we will build further on that, and with the combined strength of Fortis and Gleneagles, we will be able to support them to perform better. And at the same time, we will get a lot of synergies both on the clinical front and supply chain and other areas as well.
Understood. And at the moment, you know, given the service fees as a percentage of revenue, so we're not capturing any part of improvement in performance that you can see from a EBITDA perspective. Because what I understand is Gleneagles margins are, you know, significantly lower versus where Fortis Hospital is. So do you see that changing as you improve profitability, or is there any way we are capturing the upside that Fortis will be able to bring about, in the Gleneagles network, the improvement in profitability?
Yes, so some of the facilities have underperformed, but the objective of this whole exercise is to get the economy of scale and get the synergies around the operations as well as supply chain, etc., and improve those profitability margins. Mm-hmm. However, for current, the arrangement is based only on a top-line fee for Fortis. So that is the current arrangement.
Understood. My second question is on the hospital business. I know you're sticking to your guidance of the 200 basis points margin expansion, but given how strong first quarter has been, second quarter usually tends to be stronger, and that, you know, we're adding a lot of our brownfield capacity now, could the margin surprise positively, or what's keeping us at that 200 basis point margin expansion, given the brownfield technically should have higher, EBITDA?
Yeah, so you are right that, the first quarter, which typically is subdued, has been better. This is, of course, a result of, our case mix change over a period of time and the new facilities which we had added and the new modalities which we had added over the last couple of years. So I think that trend will continue. Though we are maintaining our margin, but definitely the momentum is strong and is expected to remain that way.
Understood. And my last question on diagnostics, given our presence in West and East is lower, when it's like a percentage of the revenue mix that you give in the presentation, is there hope for Agilus to look at inorganic opportunities to improve performance, or a focus is largely to grow the diagnostic business organically by adding more labs and touch points?
Currently, we are looking at opportunities on a case-to-case basis based on, the strategic fit and, what kind of value we can get from that kind of an opportunity. But we are open to all geographies. It's not that we are only specifically looking at certain geographies. Especially in the, in our focus geographies, we are looking at acquisitions that can help us, build scale in that region. It's not that we are not open to any opportunity in a particular location. So it's not, we're not going after any specific geography.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just back again on the Gleneagles O&M. And if you look at the public disclosure from IHH, in terms of their overall India business margins, and if I were to back out yours, Gleneagles, I'm not talking only the five hospitals, but the overall, including the Mumbai one, very low margins, Dr. Ashutosh, right? So, what are we trying to bring now? In terms of operation and maintenance that is going to help improve this? Are these, you mentioned about high-end specialty and all, but at 3.5% or 4% margins, something is missing, right? So what are the things that you need to bring on the table? And what is the ulterior motive, right? Is it going to be eventually merged with us over time, right? In that case, the assets, at least at the starting point of margin, seem to be pretty weak. So just want to understand what the end game is on the Gleneagles facilities.
Yeah. So, Shyam, these facilities have a good potential. They are located well in the micro markets they are in. And we believe that the full potential of these hospitals has not yet been realized. And that is a mix of a lot of things. One of the things which advantage which we get in this kind of alliance is to get synergies in terms of supply chain and other operational metrics. So that clearly will be beneficial to improve the profitability profile of these hospitals. And that is the idea for giving the responsibility to manage this to Fortis. And at the same time, in the future, we will take things as they come. However, having said that, IHH has publicly stated multiple times that Fortis is their main vehicle of growth in India, and India is a focus market for them. So definitely, all possible options will be on table at the right time.
Just expressing a concern here, Dr. Ashutosh, is if you are given bad assets and we overpay for that, I'm just saying from a valuation perspective, is something that I hope from a Fortis perspective, those things are taken care of. So it's just wanted to mention that upfront.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That is, Fortis has maintained a very disciplined approach when it comes to acquisitions, and we will continue to be cautious on that. So you can be rest assured that whatever in future happens will be done in a very transparent manner. Arm's length as well, of course.
Yeah, thank you. Just going on to my second question, we're getting 3% net revenue starting July, which is like 20-30 crores, I think. I'm just doing for full year. And is that already in our guidance? So did we, when we guided for fiscal 26, is that, I know you didn't announce it at the quarter end, but how should we look at the margin guidance? It should go higher now, right, versus what it was originally.
Yeah, so in that guidance, we have not considered this Gleneagles, of course, and whatever the earning will be, because it will be part of the year, so that that much it will be added up. Because as Dr. Ghovanshi mentioned in the for the earlier question, we will be accounting only, you know, that 3% of the net revenue, and there will be a little bit cost.
That goes. Yeah, that goes directly to EBITDA, right?
Yes, yes. So to that extent, the EBITDA margin will go up.
So, okay, sorry, I'm asking, so what is our current guidance? And then plus if I add 100 bips is what it will end up, right? I'm just, so what is our 22 to 23 for our hospitals?
Not the 100 bips, Sam, because if you see the revenue, you might be having some number.
700 crores the, and 3% is 20 to 25 crores. I'm just making
yeah, those so it, for the full year, and if you do percentage, it will be something around 0.2, 0.3%.
Understood. Okay, great. Last question is on the diagnostic business. We've seen a turnaround, at least from a margin standpoint, but on growth again, there is a difference between gross revenue growth and net revenue. So maybe the gross to net ratio has changed slightly. And the other observation I had was when I look at volume growth and ASP increase, like test realization or even patient realization, it is higher than our revenue growth. So is there something I'm missing? Thank you.
The volume growth is roughly around 5%, and the average revenue per patient, that growth is about 4%. So totally that's about 9% is what will come. But because of...
So Sham, the way we look at it, while the revenue growth is 9%, the way we calculate margins is that there's an element of other income also. So to make it like-to-like basis, EBITDA margins include revenue and other income, and that is the base.
Andra, I'm just talking revenue growth. I'm not looking at EBITDA yet.
No, no,
I'm saying revenue growth is 6%. Revenue growth is 6%, net revenue growth.
No, no. The operating revenue growth is 9%, which is 5% volume and 4% value. Whereas what you see as gross revenue here, it includes other income as well.
So, Sam, if I can clarify this 9% versus sure. Earlier mentioned 7.6, in the last year financial, there is certain one-off income which was booked. So, if we take impact of that out, then, you know, the revenue growth, what Anand is now mentioning, is 9.3%. Okay. So, actually, operationally, the revenue has grown by 9.3% if we taken out the impact of that one-off expenses, which we income which we have booked in the last quarter.
Got it.
No,
this is helpful. This explains. Lastly, any one-offs in any of your margins, either in hospital or diagnostics for the quarter?
No, nothing.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Goila from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Sir, good morning. Fantastic results. Congratulations. So one question I wanted to ask you. So you said that you are expecting addition of 900 beds this year. So can we assume that you will at least have 500 based on your current occupancy of 65 to 70%? You will be having at least 500 to 550 paying beds next year, and which can add a revenue of about 1500 odd crores based on your current ARPA.
Yeah, Mr. Goyal, if I can answer this question, yes, out of
yeah,
900,
hi,
sir. So out of 900, this 250 beds is for fMRI unit, which we will be completing by year-end only. You know, we December, January, sometime around that time. So no major revenue we are expecting from that. However, for Noida facility, 150, Faridabad, the 50, and you know, little bit capacity we are adding other, at other locations. Those will be operating at a decent occupancy level. And there is another, say, 200 bed we are expecting to open for Manesar facility, which, as you know, is a new facility. So there will be, you know, ramp up will be as per, you know, new facility.
Fair enough. So, no, Vivek, I'm saying for next year. So I'm saying for next full year, definitely we can get 600 beds additional revenue.
Yes, 100%.
So
because all these expenses, yeah, all these expenses is coming at brownfield, so I think ramp up will be quite fast.
Yeah, so then at least we can get, see, based on your current ARPOB, we can see a revenue addition of at least 1,500 crores here. I'm talking next year, 26, 27.
Oh, yeah. I think so. We will be getting around that list.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Vivek, and all the very best to all of you. Like, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks. And sir, congratulations for a pretty strong performance. Dr. Ravishankar, just to, if you were to look at the last few quarters, you've had a pretty remarkable improvement in both the revenue and the operating profitability for the hospital business. While you've been talking about, you know, sort of various measures you've been taking, if you can, you know, just probably take up, just sort of summarize, if you were, the three or four main things which have worked for, which have begun to fall in place for the business over the last four or five quarters. And where do you still see opportunities for, you know, and which are the major levers for growth, barring the, you know, the bad additions from here on, you know, when you look at the business over the next 2 years, two, 3 year perspective?
Yeah, I think there have been multiple factors which have led to this consistently good performance. One of the factors is that the investment which was made in clinical manpower as well as in the infrastructure in last 3-4 years, that has started yielding results. That is one of the major drivers, and that also has resulted in the case mix change. So we across our network today have more than 14 robots, and all these robots are doing very large. The growth has been 75% from last year to this year. So that kind of high-end work is growing. The second is that oncology, which we started investing about 6 years back, is yielding results and is growing at almost 27-28% CAGR. So these kind of case mix change which is happening is resulting in the increased ARPOB levels. And at the same time, we are working parallelly on the operational efficiencies, and that is also helping to some extent. But I think we still have some more ground to cover, and there are certain areas which we are working on at the moment.
Doctor, on the current network, is there an opportunity for us to, I mean, I don't know if we try, I don't recall checking this number. Has there been a meaningful improvement in our ALOS, and do you see opportunities to further shrink the ALOS in some of our busy hospitals?
Yeah, so the busy hospitals, our ALOS, we have definitely had some improvement, but it is not dramatic. But we have seen some minor improvement in some of these hospitals where the occupancy levels are above 75-80%. But overall, I think it has been pretty stable. Going forward, we definitely remain focused on that. And as I was saying earlier, that robotics and these kind of procedures are becoming higher in number. At the same time, the daycare segment is growing very fast. So that will all help us to reduce the ALOS further.
And a second one on the Jalandhar acquisition. Post this acquisition, we have now a largest presence in Punjab. So I mean, how do you look at this region now? From a, what kind of opportunities for growth do you see, you know, if you take Punjab as a cluster now for yourself?
So Punjab, you know, we have a very dominant presence. We are way far ahead of any other competition. We were together, all these beds is, makes about 1,000 beds, and many of the units are performing. Amritsar and Mohali specifically are doing very well. We have further expansion planned in Mohali, as you might be aware. And at the same time, we are planning expansion in Amritsar as well. Ludhiana is also doing all right, and Jalandhar, this facility which we have acquired, is has got good performance in last few quarters, so we expect that to improve further. This cluster we look at with great interest, because this has been the origin of the group, and we have such a edge in terms of branding over there, and that is what we want to build on further. But currently we are not planning anything further than the current hospitals and the brownfield expansions which we will have in them. The brownfield expansion, we'll have about 450 beds in Mohali, we'll have about 250 beds in Jalandhar further added, and about 180 beds in Amritsar we are going to add further. So this is the plan for the Punjab region at the moment.
Thanks. And last one, sir, on the payer mix, any you know, on the scheme patients, I mean, how do you see that the payer mix changing in any meaningful way as we go along?
So not really. We have seen some improvement in the first quarter, whereby, you know, our PPA and the international business has really gone up, and the government business has also gone up, but it is not, it has not gone up to that extent. So that way, you know, payer mix has improved slightly, but with our expansion program and the geographical presence in some of the regions, our ability to reduce this is very low. But the improvement will be gradual. It will not be very dramatic.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Patiparam Pil from Ilara Capital.
Hi, good morning. Again, congrats for the great numbers. Most questions have been answered. Just on your capacity, so your presentation talks about more than 5,700 operational beds. But what would be the total capacity beds?
Your voice was breaking. If your question is 5,700 operational beds.
Capacity. Yeah.
So, Bino, out of these 5,700, including the Gleneagles O&M that we've just executed, we have about 1,300 O&M beds. The rest would be those PNL beds that you're talking about.
So, I think the participant has got disconnected. Can we move to the next question?
Yes, please.
The next question is from the line of Sahini Mukherjee from Nomura. Can you please go ahead?
Yeah, thanks. This is Shahin here from Nomura. So congratulations on a great set of numbers you've delivered. So I was, you know, in response to an earlier question, you mentioned about, you know, one of the things which you have worked on in terms of investments and case mix. You mentioned about oncology, which I think is somewhere around mid-teen contribution. Can you also share on robotic surgery, what percentage, either in terms of revenues or number of surgeries that you do? And what's the scope for these two ratios to increase over the next, say, 3-4 years, if you have something in mind in the medium term?
Yeah, so oncology contribution is approximately 17-18% at the moment, but that is pure oncology, and there is some oncology which gets identified as other specialties because cancers can be anywhere. Our estimate is that approximately about 19-20% revenue is coming from oncology. As far as robotic surgeries are concerned, we don't track that revenue separately at the moment. We have seen a 75% year-on-year change in terms of the number of cases, procedures we have performed. That is the kind of growth we are expecting, and we expect that growth to continue because we are adding more robots in our network. Some of the hospitals, we have already got the second system in place, and some of the hospitals which did not have a system earlier, we are in the process of installing robotic machines as well. I expect that growth will happen in that, maybe not 75% next year, but at least 50% next year as well.
Okay. So your ARPOB growth can sort of be in high single digit, at least for some time. Would that be something to look, you know, look forward to?
Yeah, so... So, Sian, the ARPOB growth is, as I was telling in the earlier calls also, you know, this growth is mainly coming from the daycare, OPD and those type of things and robotic surgeries because their, you know, consumable is high. The price increase in it is only 1.3%. So, it is very difficult to predict, you know, how much more we can do or what type of daycare business we will be getting or OPD business we will be getting. But we maintain our guidance that ARPOB growth should be in the normal course, it should be around 5-6%.
Okay, understood. My second question is, you know, on the Manesar facility. So if you can share some light in terms of how much has been there, how has been the ramp up and, you know, whether it's EBITDA, break even, it's making some profit or any indication you can provide.
Yeah, so ramp up is quite good and it is better than our expectations and it is picking up quite well. In terms of revenue, it has started generating revenue of 11 crore plus per month. Okay, and EBITDA side, it is still on the negative side because there is a lot of hiring and clinical talent we are adding. And that the actual benefit of that may be coming in the forthcoming quarters. So I am expecting if we able to achieve the revenue of 2 crore more per month, which we are expecting in next couple of months, this unit should be break even on EBITDA level.
Okay, understood. That's helpful. Sir, can I ask one more question on diagnostic?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. So one question on diagnostics. You know, we are seeing some stability in the business now. You know, in terms of your mix, whether we look at wellness contribution, B2C, B2B, we are at a particular level. I mean, should we see any meaningful change in these ratios, something which we are pursuing? And also on the, you know, if you can throw some light on the network itself, firstly, the expansion plan that you have, and is there any franchisee model involved when it comes to these collection centers, how you manage it?
Thanks, Sahin. So the product revenue mix, as you know, wellness currently contributes about 12% of our revenue, and it is one of the quite fast-growing segments for us now. And we have been seeing good traction on health checkup packages, which has been taken up by general population as well across all our units. So that we see that it will definitely keep growing. When it comes to B2C and B2B mix, yes, at this point of time, yes, our mix is at about 51-49. So we expect it to be around the same over the period of the next 1 year or so. Then probably there will be further improvement in B2C. It all depends on, you know, which segment grows faster. So as we expand further, as we improve our network, and our network productivity also improves, the B2C component will keep going. So another important aspect of the system is we are also going to be adding SRL brand back to us in the sense that now we have ownership of the SRL brand, and that will help us to further, you know, strengthen our presence. That, you know, earlier we were not able to provide that opportunity of having, SRL Agilus has been the new name for SRL, so we have not been able to communicate effectively. So we will be doing that process in the coming months, by which also we expect that the B2C component will further strengthen.
Sorry, sir, I didn't get this. Can you just explain the SRL thing? So you have made the brand change. So now you are going to use the SRL brand back. If you can just explain what it means.
No, in fact, we had the SRL brand before and we converted it to Agilus.
Right.
But we were not using SRL for this process earlier due to certain legal requirements. Currently, we have got the ownership of the brand, and that is the reason we are going ahead.
So, Shyam, if I can explain this a little further, the change which we had to do from SRL to Agilus was a little abrupt. And at that time, the board, the courts directed us not to use SRL in any form, even to identify that this business was previously called SRL Limited. So we were constrained in communicating effectively to people that this is the legacy of this business which continues as a new brand. So it was not a very ideal kind of a brand change situation, and that impacted our business negatively. However, now we have acquired this brand and now we have the ability to communicate effectively that SRL is now Agilus. So we expect that communication will also further help to strengthen our brand.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lavanya Totala from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So one question. So how the business has been trending in July, like in terms of occupancy, any sense how the momentum has been in July?
So we are trending well. We can't spell out the numbers because it is price sensitive. So we are trending quite well as per our plan.
Okay, got that. So just on this diagnostic one, clarification. So SRL will be used only for this communication that it is rebranded to Agilus, but we are not planning for dual branding or something. It's going to be Agilus, but just communicating that it was before SRL. Is it right understanding?
That's correct.
Okay, got that. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Chawla from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Prashant here. A couple of questions. One on the diagnostic side, more of a clarification. So when you talk about margins of 22 to 23%, that's on the gross revenues basis, right?
Net. Diagnostic,
that's on the, yes, it's on the net revenue basis.
Okay, so you for this year, your margin should be that 22 to 23% range on net revenue basis.
Yes.
Yeah. And second, one question on the hospital side, the ESCOS Delhi Hospital, which margin bracket would it now feature in?
It has moved up to about 15% margin. So it is around 15-17%. Yeah. In that range.
All right.
And it's consistently performing at that level. So, and we identified certain more lever where, you know, we can improve it further.
Great. And one last question from my side. Again, back on the diagnostic side. So your revenue growth seems to have stabilized at a slightly higher level than you've been doing in the last few years. So where should we see this, on a normalized basis stabilizing? Would it be high single digit or would you go into a lower double digit range? How should we think about this now?
So I think in the next few quarters, we'll be in the high single digit to about 10% kind of a growth in the next few quarters. But, you know, as we move forward in the next, 6 to 8 quarters, we will be moving into the early double digit numbers.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's it, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nancy Yadav from Allegro Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered already. I just wanted to ask the Ind AS adjustment number and, if possible, a breakup of the number for hospitals versus diagnostics.
Yeah, so there is not much impact, and we are not tracking that way because now it is all in as per IFRS in India. So there is not much impact. That much I can tell you at consolidated level. Hospital business, it is very negligible. Diagnostic is still there, will be little bit, but it is not much. We can provide you separately.
Sorry.
Anurag will be able to provide you separately if you want that number, absolute number.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Sacton Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, this time the international customers, that growth is quite good. Would you throw some more light that how could be a trend for the next 3 quarters for the international customers? And what are the main geographies that these customers are coming? That's one part. Second, sir, this is related to robotic machines. So how many robotic machines we have, and this year how many we are expected to bring new robotic machines, and what kind of the CapEx we are doing on the robotic machines?
So we have approximately 15 robotic machines across our network right now, and we are in the process of getting another 4 this year. So this is regarding the robotic procedures. We have seen a growth of about 75%, as I said earlier. And as far as the international patients is concerned, the overall contribution is about 8% for overall revenue. And it's likely to increase a little bit, but in absolute terms it is likely to increase. But as a contribution, it is likely to stay in that level. We do get patients for oncology and other areas like that. Cardiac and oncology is the main, and neuro as well. These three departments get a lot of patients.
So what kind of CapEx we are doing for these 4 robotic machines?
Yeah, so these robotic machines generally cost us around 12 crore per machine. I am talking the Da Vinci robots, and for ortho robot it cost us around 5 crore.
Okay. So last one from my side, that this oncology is doing very well, as mentioned in the earlier comments, growing with the 27-28% of growth. How could be the trend over the next 3 years in the oncology segment?
Yes, so we expect that kind of growth will continue for another few years because we are adding oncology setups to some other hospitals where it is not there at the moment. So obviously that growth is momentum is likely to continue.
That's from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Bhatia from Bandhan Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good afternoon. Just two quick clarifications. One, could you help us with the Noida and Faridabad occupancy as of the first quarter, FY26?
Yes.
Yeah, so Noida is 76% occupancy and Faridabad is above 80% occupancy.
And Noida, 76% is after the 60-bed addition?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and just one clarification. I'm just trying to bridge the gap between this almost a 300 basis points of hospital margin improvement on a year-on-year basis. If I look at the last year's first quarter of FY25, probably hospital had certain 40 to 50 bits of one could say one-offs in terms of some provisions. Probably surgical mix was higher, so your margins were impacted to that extent. Excluding all of that, if I just work with a 300 bits of margin improvement, and you mentioned that there are no one-offs in the current hospital margin. I understand that Ludhiana is something that has moved up in the margin metrics. FMR and Anandapur has also moved up in the margin metrics. Is there anything else that is sort of helping you move up the curve in terms of the margins? Or broadly, these are the three or four drivers that are driving majority of that margin improvement?
At network level, almost all the hospitals are doing quite well. Some of the underperforming unit has also start performing, like I mentioned about Jaipur. There is also very good improvement in the PE in terms of margins and overall performance. And then, you know, whatever capacity we able to add, we able to ramp up as per our expectation, which I've told that it is brownfield. So if you see the occupancy has gone up, it is touching around 70% at the network level. So that helps a lot in the margin improvement, apart from what I've said earlier.
So would it be fair to say, at least for FY26 perspective, if I look at Faridabad, SMR addition, Noida addition, whatever incremental beds you are adding, and I'm also counting the minimal addition you did at FMRI in first quarter itself, that incremental beds by itself is attracting a very high specialty mixed patient pool, one would say, from the beginning itself. Again, because this is Dida Brownfield, that is why I'm asking this question.
Yeah, so one is these, as I mentioned, these are brownfield, so the ramp up is not a issue. And plus, you know, we are adding specialties and clinical talent at all our facilities. And plus, we have invested in the technology also, and that is also helping us in doing some quality work. And the overall impact is in the margin improvement.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand over the conference to management for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time on the call. Please do feel free to reach out to us if you have any further queries, clarifications. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Fortis Healthcare Limited, concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.